Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 159. It's a Thursday night, so we're back to preview the week's fab coming up here. Week 21, we'll get you ready for everybody. We'll recap some recent news and probably some witty banter like we always bring. We'll call it banter. I won't give us that much credit on the show just yet. But until we'll get to there shortly. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how we doing, my friend?
We're good. We're good. Starting back on a normal cadence here. No candlelight vigil this evening. It was pretty cool to. I don't think either of us knew how that would go, and bordering on the line of very corny to either pretty good, and it sounded like a bunch of you all out there enjoyed it. So,
despite you guys got us, the humor behind it all.
Exactly. We try not to take things too seriously and try and have fun with it. So that was our. That was our attempt with our little eulogy, double eulogy of Luis Ringifo. But back to normal fab stuff tonight.
Yep, I'm with you. It was a lot of fun. The responses were awesome throughout the last couple of days. Just out of nowhere, like people we don't hear from that often, we're just laugh. Like it was good, really good. So appreciate you all. That's what we do on this show. We have fun, but we also get your fantasy news. But we have a lot of fun. That's the purpose of the show. All right, let's get to it. I guess, do we want to announce when our draft begins, or are we going to keep that behind the curtain still?
No, let's do it. Speaking of fun, we have settled on a date for our too early 2025.
Not a mock,
a draft and hold draft on the NFBC. This is what we affectionately call the meatball draft hosted by Rob DiPietro. This will be our third year doing it, where we draft in August for the following year. I'm stoked. We all get on Zoom a certain night, and it's the reason it's the 21st and this is like August 8th. We've been trying to find a date for a couple of weeks now, is trying to find a time for 15 people to agree on. And we're able to do that. So we will have some content. I think it's a Wednesday night. So we'll do a Tuesday night kind of preview some of our strategies and that sort of thing for the 2025 draft. And then we'll do a post-mortem the following week. But I don't know how many rounds we're doing. There's rumors of last year it was 7. There's rumors of 15 rounds this year, where we'll start and do those on the 21st. And then we'll finish it out October, November, draft and hold on NFBC. So I'm looking forward to that, man.
Yep. It's always a fun time. It's always great for late season content when content is kind of drying up, but it's also just fun to look ahead, because I know I'm guilty of saying it on this show and other shows, like, man, I wonder what this guy's going to be going at next year. And like, I try to stay in this season and not move forward, but we'll at least have a reason to move a little bit forward and see where it goes. So it's always a fun time. Year 3 coming up here, and we'll see where it goes. But it's a fun group of people, the same 15 pretty much every year, which is pretty good. We had one dropout last year. I think Dom jumped in the bullpen guru. Other than that, it's been the same crew, which is really awesome. And Dom's awesome too. So like, it's not, no slight there. So yeah, it's going to be absolutely awesome to do that. Start talking 2025 in August, because that's what we do around here. Let's talk some recent news here real quick. And actually, before we do that, I'll segue backwards, since we didn't really cover it last week because we were mourning to start the show. FPAS is coming up, folks. Room blocks are available. Sign up. We have golf coming up on that Sunday. It looks like we have at least 4 foursomes already, it seems like, filling up here. But anything else you want to add to that, Ryan?
We are almost at 4 foursomes. Okay. So if anyone wants to round out for our 4th foursome or start a 5th, we'll see. Hit us up. Let us know. That's Sunday, November 3rd is our golf outing. And then First Pitch Arizona, of course, is October 31st through November 3rd. So, cannot wait. It's like 2.5 months away, man.
Yeah, it's not right far. Around the corner.
We're already talking about ideas for our live show at First Pitch.
Oh, dude, so we have some good ones. That. in our heads, we think they're good ones.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It might be as bad as the candlelight vigil idea, but we do have some ideas for the live show. So we'll keep workshopping them.
I'm not sure if I'll buy 4 foul balls for $5 from a kid and autograph them and send them off. I don't know, but it's going to be fun. You have to be there to find out. That's all I got to say. So yes. You never know. Plenty of noons will be flowing to have that roaring for us. All right. Recent news since we last talked on Tuesday. It happened on Tuesday, but we didn't know the extent of what took place. But Grayson Rodriguez was scratched 6 minutes before first pitch on Tuesday. And now he found out he has basically a lat strain is the easy way to say it. There's like this teres abductor thing. Like it's a lat strain. And I mentioned like we on Tuesday that he had a similar injury last year. It took him out for 3 months. They're saying the current injury isn't as severe as last year, yet they're not giving us a grade of the strain, which gives us usually an idea, or they have no timetable yet. The Orioles, I'm saying. The Orioles terminology is we hope to have Grayson Rodriguez back by the end of the season. Albert Suarez fits in for now. That doesn't do much for me. I know we talked about him before. But what's your thoughts here? Because it's really tough. It's one thing when we have an IA, they say he's out 4 to 6 weeks. Okay, we have an idea of what we're doing. We have nothing right now. So what do we think on this one?
I mean, already, so today's August 8th. And this isn't just Grayson Rodriguez himself, but like just timeline-wise. He's on the 15-day IL, so retroactive, whatever. But let's just say the earliest he could come back is August 22nd. He's not just going to come back and, I don't think, pitch straight away in game. So there'll probably be some short rehab assignment. That's all right. Then we push into, let's say, August 29th. So that's less than a month that we have as a best-case scenario for Grayson Rodriguez. So I think if you have Grayson, because he's so good and has been so good, you hold until we get some kind of definitive timeline. Like what you don't want to have happen is you drop him and that kind of best case timeline that I just laid out actually happens, because you can still get 4 or 5 starts out of the dude. But if there's any kind of firm timeline that's beyond that, even pushing to mid-September, I think you gotta axe really any pitcher at that point, because you're just not going to you're not going to get the innings and the chance for wins. And there's kind of two things. There's teams that are obviously Baltimore's in the race, but teams that are not in the race, what motivation is there to bring their pitcher back? Teams that are in the race are probably slow playing it and playing that playing for the playoffs. So either way, any pitcher like out more than the minimum at this point, they got to be real damn good, or you need to be real damn confident that they're coming back, because time is running out.
And as Michael C says, don't worry, they have Trevor Rogers, so they've got that.
Well, I'm not worried about Baltimore at all. They've got trade deadline acquisition Trevor Rogers to carry that float. Albert Suarez, obviously joking there. Albert Suarez, yes, would be the guy, like you said, Bubba. The first start for Suarez next week would be versus Boston, who's been the best lineup in baseball over the last month. So I'm not touching Albert Suarez, at least for another week. It's very much matchup dependent.
Very much matchup dependent, and probably more 15 than 12, even with the proper matchup, yes, when it comes to Albert Suarez, because we're at the time of the year where a blow-up can really destroy things right about now. So keep that in your mind's eye. I guess we've kind of started talking about potential just long relievers or good eighth inning guys that can maybe sneak a win or a save and might be a lot better the rest of the way type situation than a lot of. And I think it was on my Monday show with Ben. If it was you, I apologize. But we were talking about some of these late inning guys that are getting multiple innings, and you get like 5 innings a week out of them, and they're putting up better numbers than any streamer you're going to pick up right now. Like it's been pretty impressive to see how it pans out. So think of it with a broad scope, basically. Another one that could sting. And honestly, I'm kind of more worried about this one than Grayson Rodriguez, weirdly enough. Like I think Grayson's going to be out for a while too, but Joe Ryan left with a tricep strain on Wednesday after throwing 3 pitches in the 3rd inning. Obviously not good. On Thursday, Ryan was scheduled to have an MRI. We're expected to get the results from that on Friday, because the Twins did not play on Thursday, so no beat reporter action there. But this feels like one where they're even saying, yes, he's definitely going to miss the first 2 weeks like you would expect, but they're expecting it to be a little longer, like not full season, but I'm guessing it's another month type thing as well with Joe Ryan. And I think it might be worse personally. So Louis Varland is getting called up to pitch one of the games of Friday's doubleheader. You'd imagine he gets the spot starts for now until our boy the Cowboy comes back, Chris Paddock. But how are you looking at the Minnesota situation?
So everything I just said about Grayson Rodriguez applies to Joe Ryan. Kind of wait until we get a timetable there, but don't be too hesitant to go with the drop if the diagnosis is not good. In terms of Louis Varland, like this guy burned me, but I still think there's something there. I think Louis Varland had an 18% K-minus walk in AAA, which is pretty good, 491 ERA, but definitely was a flop to start the season. And, but, you know, in a small sample in the last couple months of the season, if Joe Ryan is out for a while, Louis Varland, I think, should be on at least 15 team radars as a streamer. Probably would get Kansas City next week, like on Wednesday, if he's going to pitch this coming Friday, and then line up for a two-step the following week at San Diego, then versus the St. Louis Cardinals. So Louis Varland, even though he did torch us earlier this season, I'm still keeping some faith that he could be usable down the stretch.
Yeah, we've seen good stints from Varland, at least give us something to think positive of when it comes to Louis. AAA numbers this year, not 4.91 ERA is not ideal, but if last four starts have been pretty good. So I think he might be, you know, running into the right, like, well, let's look at it this way. Out of all of his starts, he made 15 starts. One of them, he allowed 11 earned runs out of his 40. So 14 other starts.
Ouch. Made him wear it.
29. Yeah.
Damn.
They made him, he threw 2 1/3 and allowed 11 earned runs in that start. So he threw, he's thrown 71 other innings for 29 runs. That's a big difference, folks.
For sure. That, for sure. And that, not even like this year, but like, I mean, even last year, Louis Varland, he's only 26. Last year had almost a 20% K minus walk in the majors. Like this, again, this is a guy who has shown skills before. So, which, like, would you rather Louis Varland or Albert Suarez, who we just talked
about? I'll take my chances with Louis Varland.
Right. Like, yeah, I would too.
Yeah. So, I'd probably rather have neither personally, but I'll take my chances with Louis Varland if I have.
Not an option, Bubba.
I know. I just had to clarify because
can't be John Fish out here rolling out all reliever rotations every week.
Hey, Joe Musgrove, baby. Joe Musgrove.
Side cut. Yeah.
Speaking of pitchers returning besides Joe Musgrove, DL Hall is expected back with the Brewers potentially on Sunday, if not early next week. So something to keep in mind when we look at Fab later on. Just wanted to bring that up because the Brewers did release their weekend rotation, and they have two starters scheduled for Friday and Saturday, and Sunday is still to be determined. So that, and it lines up with Hall's rehab. So it's definitely an option there. I want to also mention Merrill Kelly's throwing a bullpen on Friday, and if all goes well, he'll return on Sunday for the D-backs. So it'll be another guy that's been out forever with Arizona without a rehab start. So that's fun. Something to keep in mind in that, that's a vein as well. What are you doing with Kyle Tucker? Dude still can't sprint. They said he can't do anything until he can sprint. He's starting to jog. Like, I'm at the point where if you get 2 weeks out of him, I'd be over the moon right now, and I don't even know if we're going to get that.
Yeah, I don't know what to do, to be honest with you. I don't know what to do with Kyle Tucker. I feel like, and maybe it's always a cop-out answer, I think in a 12, you've got to really think about cutting bait.
Like, part of me is thinking, like, I've held this long, though. Like, Jesus, just
which,
like,
which should not, which that's the sunk cost fallacy. Like, should not, and I'm guilty of it. Like, yes, you've held him for whatever, a month or two at this point. That should not play a role in your decision making. I know it does, but I think I'd still hold on. Like, it's not like a pitcher. So, what I said about Grayson Rodriguez and Joe Ryan, like, Kyle Tucker could conceivably, like, that literally the phrase is like, walk out of bed and he can hit. So if you miss a month of Kyle Tucker, like, that could be really damn good. So I'm more on the side of holding until you're left with no choice there with Kyle Tucker. I mean, Kyle Tucker is like a top five, top 10 overall player. So I'd be very hesitant to drop him, even though, it's frustrating as hell, man.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at with him is I'm just like, you know what? I'll take 2 to 4 weeks of Kyle Tucker and just know that those could be amazing 2 to 4 weeks. And that's where I'm at, which might be the wrong approach here. We'll see. But it's like same with Julio Rodriguez. He's progressing slowly. He finally started taking batting practice. The Mariners are talking about bringing him back early and DHing only since he won't be able to play the field yet. So that it's the same scenario type stuff. And obviously, I think Tucker's a lot better than J-Rod personally, especially this year they were until they got hurt. So we'll see. But it's frustrating to say the least. You know what else is frustrating if you're a big fan of Tyler O'Neill? Because he missed a few games with an illness. Then he hits the IL with an infection in his leg, lower leg. There's no timetable right now. This feels like I can't remember what pitch Pepio had it with Tampa Bay. He had to get antibiotics after that was cleared. He came back basically. So feels like that is what we got going on. But what's your thoughts with this scenario?
I don't know. I hope he's – yeah. Hope he's fine. I think the Pepio thing was a giant spider bite. And it blew up his knee, and
he got it over the All-Star break. Yep,
pretty nasty. But yeah, another Tyler O'Neill year. It's been there was a concussion in April, a knee injury in May, and now this. But I don't know. I mean, you're holding O'Neill. I don't think this doesn't sound like super serious, as long as modern medicine does its thing and gets the infection down.
Yeah, because they didn't say what kind of infection it is. They're saying lower leg. I'm like, well, if it's a staph infection, this is not good. That's going to be a little while of antibiotics to get back. So we'll have to wait and see. But it's always something with Tyler O'Neill, it feels like. And he comes back and he hits again. So it's tough to drop. But I'd wait and hopefully get a better diagnosis type thing. That's the best way I'll say it. Austin Hayes, the last bit of news I want to mention here. He left Wednesday's start with a hamstring injury. Thursday, he was out of the lineup for the Phillies, undergoing more testing. We were supposed to get results from all that on Friday. The fact that they needed to do more testing, I've been very vague with this, does not make me feel great. But we still have to wait and see, of course. But I wanted to bring that up for people set lineups on Friday, and I know you are invested in Austin Hayes, so I thought I'd throw that one out there for you.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, man. Really,
you could have went full Gene Segura here, and you would have.
Yeah, one of my favorite, if not my top, post deadline like winner in terms of playing time was Austin Hayes. Was hitting well. Like, this timing totally sucks. So definitely hope it's minor. Watch for Friday lineups, of course, and I guess it might be like Weston Wilson time, who was once nominated by Uncle Ted in our chat here as a player to target. Like half of the world's population. But no, I don't think Weston Wilson. We love you, Uncle Ted. But I don't think Weston Wilson's the answer there. So let's just hope Austin Hayes is good and continues to get everyday playing time. I'll be at ninth in the order in Philly. It's a good spot for him.
Yeah, could get more playing time for Rojas and Marsh instead of platooning as well. So another option in Philadelphia. Time will tell, though. Hopefully not too difficult, as you said. All right, Ryan, let's get to it. Week 21 Fab preview. So what do you got? Anything standing out when you look at the schedule here?
So in doing some research for this show and preparation, I looked at the top offenses, and that's your normal Baltimore, right? Yankees and Dodgers are the top three right now. It's actually Yankees, Baltimore, and then Dodgers. We know the White Sox suck. So we know, by WRC plus, which is what we're looking at here on the screen for our YouTube crowd, is a rare meat red 73 for the White Sox. So I did a little digging today, and I found that since this is the worst offense, excluding the COVID year 2020.
That's impressive. Yes.
It's the worst offense that we have seen since the 1981 Toronto Blue Jays. Like, neither of us were alive at that point, which for me is not saying a whole lot, but for you, that's that's quite the feat. And so, yes, this is not just like the league's worst offense this year. This is a historic, and apparently someone responded to my tweet. Apparently 1981 was a short. I mean, you would know, you were what, 18, 20 years old back then, but apparently 1981 was a strike shortened season as well. So I could go back even further to find the last full season that an offense has been this bad, but it's historically bad for the White Sox. So I know it's rather obvious to say stream against the White Sox, but it's almost like free money at this point with pitchers going against the White Sox, just a historically bad lineup. So I know I just talked for a while there, but I had to get a couple digs in.
No, you got it. Kevin Hastings said he was 10, so leave him alone. And we got Raj in the chat here, so he can smack you around a little bit too, if you want. We'll ask his question before he takes off and goes to sleep on us. Roger Bloomfield wants to know, he picked up Varland up in a daily league. Do you like him or Festa this week? We're Festa guys.
Yeah, Matt Festa, the twin starter, I would prefer over Varland and not the Mets reliever. Yeah, take the right one.
Yes, take the right one. Don't do what Ryan has done with who was it this time?
It's David Festa. Jesus, now I'm already.
You want David? Matt's the one you added.
You want David Festa? You don't want Matt Festa? That's the Festa that I have. So,
man,
we already a disaster.
We got to get you out of the cornfields of Nebraska and back here. I did want to throw something out. A listener hit me up today because we've been talking about Tyler Fitzgerald a lot. He picked up three steals today, three in one game. So the speed showed up hopefully that lingers for the next few weeks as well, because he's got plenty of that. All right, let's talk schedules here. Arizona Diamondbacks kicking things off here. They have six games on the docket this week, three at home versus Colorado, three at the Tampa Bay Rays. It's looking like we'll get two lefties and four righties for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Is that enough to get you in on a Jock Jams?
It's right borderline. Like, if you have no other options or whatever, then you can roll with it. But five is really the ideal. Five or more righties for a platoon in a given week is kind of my rule of thumb. So I'd look elsewhere outside of Jock Jams, Jock Peterson. On the Diamondbacks themselves, there's honestly not too much there. Jake McCarthy starting to pick up playing time, hit a homer this evening against Philadelphia. So Jake McCarthy keeps kind of roller coastering between being fantasy relevant and not. A couple other things on the pitching side for the Diamondbacks that I have. You mentioned at the top, Bubba, but Merrill Kelly is coming back most likely on Sunday. So we'll get to see how he looks before bidding on Fab. But I would think Merrill Kelly coming back from the shoulder injury, if he looks good, I think he's your top pitcher ad this week. I'm just a big Merrill Kelly fan before injury, much more so than like Eduardo Rodriguez, I think made his debut this past week with Arizona. Yeah, and did not look good. Not many Ks, did not miss many bats. I know it's his first start back and no rehabs and all that stuff, but we've got that. So I think the last thing I have for Arizona real quick is, looks like it's Justin Martinez in the ninth. Right.
Martinez got it in game two of the doubleheader on Wednesday. And what's his name? Thompson pitched the eighth, got two outs before he was bounced out of there. So Martinez has gotten the last two saves. And I'm wishing I would have taken my advice a few weeks back. I was writing him up as a spec fab guy before they started making the move to Puck. And I kind of backed off, but I like some Justin Martinez.
It sounds like Puck. I do too. It's sub two ERA. Like, that will certainly earn the trust.
He's got control issues, which most flamethrowers do.
Yep, exactly. But it doesn't look like, I guess, again, from usage so far, it looks like Puck is that kind of high leverage fireman guy. I think he pitched in the seventh when needed earlier this week. So it looks like if you need a closer here, it's Justin Martinez who should be pretty widely available, I think.
He should be. A little note on Erod. Yeah, he went five innings. Limited the damage, but 1K and no whiffs. So we'll see if it's a first start getting his feet wet type thing. I do want to keep mentioning this name because, at least in like Yahoo and whatnot, widely available in OCs, he's now 93% roster. But Josh Bell continues to crush everything in sight while Christian Walker's out. So if you're not in the NFBC, go check your leagues basically, because that is another option. Eugenio's doing his thing. He's widely available in non-NFBC formats. But the last one I want to mention is something to monitor over the weekend. Adrian Del Castillo was recalled when Gabriel Moreno, or he promoted, I should say, because it's his first time in the bigs since Gabriel Moreno went to the IL, with Moreno being out for multiple weeks, it says, like at least probably till September. Keep an eye on Castillo. He's only played in one of the first three games. It's been Herrera, then Castillo, then Herrera. So they're kind of rotating, it feels like. He had a double in RBI in his debut. And we talked about AAA, 36 doubles, 24 homers, 319. Dude's got a stick. So if he can get playing time, he can definitely fill in for some of these struggling catchers. Someone to keep an eye on this weekend. I say he catches two out of the three over the weekend, then it's a 50-50 split. If it's at least 50-50, that's catcher two and 15s with a lean to 12s. Like, that does bring viability as a catcher too. So something to keep an eye on if you're looking for some catching. I had to bring it up, you know, first team. We knocked catchers out of the park already, so we're good. You know,
how to get your catcher bid in. I get it.
Yep. I have to. All right, we'll go to the Atlanta Braves. They have seven games this week, all on the road. They have four in San Francisco, three at the Angels. Eddie Rosario was sent packing. He was DFA'd on Thursday, so he's out of the picture here. We got three lefties and four righties. That makes it tough for anybody.
Yeah, Eddie Eagle is gone, and Adam Duvall is kind of back. Started the last two games in left field. So
he's playing, but is he hitting is the question.
Exactly. And speaking of playing, but is he hitting, Whit Merrifield is the everyday second baseman, has played against all the Braves have faced all righties this past week, but as playing and hitting ninth, but also not doing anything. I think no homers, no steals this week, hitting like 220. So Whit Merrifield, while there is playing time there, has not been producing. This just one last thing. This rotation, Charlie Morton got destroyed today. Spencer Schwellenbach might be hurt.
No, Grant Holmes, is he not? No, what they're doing, Holmes is starting on Friday. He's moving up. They're moving Schwellenbach back a couple of days. This is their way of limiting his innings or controlling his innings because they want him to pitch in the bigs the rest of the season. So they'll do this a couple times here. They're pushing him back like 2 days. So he'll either start Sunday or Monday, basically. So you might get a two-step next week. You might finish the two-step this week. Makes it annoying, but the dude's been so good. If they want to skip a couple of days here and there but not skip a start, I'm in. Like, that's fine. Like, so he's not hurt from what the reports are today on Thursday. They're just moving him back to kind of give him a breather and monitor his innings.
Okay. Got it. Good. Is Grant Holmes pick-upable?
In the right matchups.
He's got skills.
Yeah, in the right matchups he is. He's getting stretched out. He's getting close. He's done like 9 2/3 and two starts, but 12 Ks, one walk, that plays. That plays in a big, big way. Like, just that kind of control. I'll take my chances if he can give me 5+ innings. Braves offense is kind of waking up. They've had some duds again this week, but they seem like they're waking up. So in the right matchup, I'm in. He would be lined up for the Giants next week. That's not the worst start, honestly.
Yeah, I think it is a question because the skills are awesome. Really, there's two things with Grant Holmes. Is A, like you said, is he stretched out enough? I think 70 pitches in each of his last two outings, so he's getting there. But then also B, you always wonder how the skills, which have looked really good, like a 15% swinging strike, are over 20% K to walk. Those are benchmarks that you want guys to clear. Those are pretty elite. Will those skills translate over from the bullpen to rotation? That's always a question. But Grant Holmes is someone who I think kind of sneakily is a decent starting pitcher at, assuming he keeps getting stretched out here.
Yeah, he could be worth a stream tomorrow if in your daily leagues on Fridays. Like, I could see it being a dude to look at. Michael C. in the chat also brings up something I was discussing in my news the other day. Michael Harris started rehab on Tuesday. They want him there for at least a week. So that's why Michael C. saying he should be back for the Giants series. It's a 4-game series. If he's not back there, he'll definitely be back for the weekend, barring a setback. So he's just been out for so long, they flat out said we want him there for a week, like to get his timing back and everything. Now, that obviously changes if he keeps crushing the ball like he has his first two games. He might be back this weekend. But we are going to get Harris back here very soon. Something else to monitor.
Good call. Good call.
All right. Let's head on to our next team here, the Baltimore Orioles, who rained out good on the season, but quieted down of late offensively. Still good, but not consistently dominating like they once were. 6 games coming up here, all at home. They have 3 against Washington, 3 against Boston. Looks like we got 2 lefties and 4 righties. Once again, making the platoon not the most ideal thing. But I made the comment on my Monday show, recapping the OCs. It looks like your Kobe Mayos and Jackson Holidays did not get picked up in all your leagues. So go check out what you have going on. So I'm going to say it might be in 1 or 2 leagues, but go check because people are asleep this time of year. I'm not a Mayo guy, but Holiday looks legit. So that's all I'm going to say there.
Yeah, I was gonna not throw those two together. I think Jackson Holiday could be awesome the rest of the year. Yeah. Kobe Mayo, we'll see. He's starting to get the Orioles treatment.
Yes, he's not playing every day, even against righties. Ramon Urias is winning that battle. So if you're in 15s and you need a third baseman, it's not the most ringing endorsement, but it's a pulse that helps this time of year.
Agreed. Ramon Urias has started 2 of the last 3 games at third base, both over Kobe Mayo. And I don't really have too much else here. Cedric Mullins is again not playing. He's been, speaking of roller coasters, up, down, had been playing pretty well, but is no longer getting enough playing time to be rosterable. In a 4-game week, I don't know if Ryan O'Hearn is even enough. He has cooled down quite a bit lately. Still playing every day against righties in the middle of the lineup. So I think you roll with it. But just you know, if this keeps on struggling, look to bench O'Hearn because he has not been that great lately.
Yeah, the team as a whole is quieted down. If you're not named Anthony Santander, or I'll even throw Jackson Holiday in there right now because they just both crush it. Everybody else, like Rutschman, is having a really rough like last couple months. Not Will Smith rough, but close. Like Rutschman, JTR, there's a handful of catchers that have just really, really started to cool down. Like Colton Cowser has been awesome. Gunnar Henderson's been quiet. This team is having some issues. The one guy I will ask you about, because it's been fun watching Twitter do Twitter things, Eloy Jimenez is only rostered in 41 leagues right now. Eloy Jimenez is playing pretty much every day with the Baltimore Orioles. since he rejoined the Orioles on August 1st. Eloy Jimenez has hit safely in his last four games entering Thursday's action. He's hitting 500. He's got two doubles, four RBIs. We know his power is kind of not what we thought it would be, but the dude's hitting for average, which he's always been able to do when healthy. Now he's in a better lineup that can drive in runs. Util only is always the bummer, but is this a dude we should be looking into?
Yeah. I mean, you're an Eloy guy. I know you like Eloy. So
yep. When he's healthy, he's awesome.
I agree. I agree. If he's healthy and the playing time is there, and it does seem to be mostly there, there's been a couple of days where Eloy hasn't started at DH, but when healthy in that lineup, I can see an ad there for sure.
Yep. So I just wanted to bring that up because, like, we talked about how bad JDM's actually been. A healthy Eloy versus JDM is interesting because JDM had more power, but like Eloy's a better batting average guy. And so it kind of meant the team dependent is what I would say on that one. What are you looking for this time of the year? All right, let's go to Boston. Best offense in baseball right now, which is fun to say. Seven games coming up here. They got three at home versus Texas, four in Baltimore, a little postseason preview over next weekend. Two lefties, five righties. That suits up really nice for your Abreus and your Yoshidas and company. What are you seeing when you look at Boston?
Those were the two guys that I was honing in on. I know Joe Errico does an awesome podcast. Friend of the show, Joe Errico, 90 Feet From Home. Check that out. He did a pretty good deep dive on a really good deep dive on Willy Abreu. I did not realize had been this good lately. Willy Abreu is 90% rostered in 12 teamers in the NFBC, so it's probably too late. But Willy Abreu is a big reason why the Red Sox have been the best offense in baseball lately. And then Masataka Yoshida is the other one. I mean, we've talked about him the last couple of weeks, hitting third most days, DHing, playing every day against lefties and righties. The power is starting to come back a little bit, so I like Yoshida to kind of continue this. Anyone playing every day hitting third in this lineup is very interesting to me.
Yeah, the only other thing I will mention is if you're in daily leagues and you see the Red Sox are facing left-handed pitching, go pick up Romy Gonzalez. Dude has actually played really well because I almost picked him up in Tout Wars because I'm desperate for middle infielder every week. But he only plays versus lefties is the bummer. But when he plays very well. So a guy I would keep in mind if you're looking for, if you're in a daily league, that would be a guy I would have a little interest in. So I want to throw that out there as you're scrambling for everything you can get as the season comes to a screeching halt. The other thing I'll mention is Nick Pivetta is having his start skipped as he's dealing with dead arm. His start this weekend skip, so keep your ear down this weekend to see if he's even starting next week to see how that pans out. Right now they haven't named like if they're going bullpen or if Cooper Criswell is getting the start, but we could start seeing a little bit of that in Boston. But yeah, Nick Pivetta dealing with dead arms, he's missing a start this weekend. He's technically still in line to pitch on Wednesday. We'll have to wait and see. That'd be Wednesday versus Texas, which is a good matchup these days, so keep that in mind with Nick Pivetta. Chicago Cubs, they have six games coming up this week, three at the Cleveland Guardians, three at home versus Toronto, all right-handed pitching. Ryan, who would you like here without saying the one guy we keep saying that's not worth saying?
What? The who? The what? I don't really like anyone here. Like, I mean, there's just no movement. Like, the good Cubs are owned.
Yep.
Pete Crow Armstrong is not owned and for good reason. Yep. I don't know. Michael Bush is hitting second.
He's 99% rostered.
99% rostered. So yeah, there's really, in terms of the lineup, there's really no change. The starting pitching rotation, there's really no change. There's no, Hector Neris is still closing, even though there's been no save opportunities lately. Unless I'm missing something, I don't really see much action with the Cubs.
I was going to ask you a question, but he'll come up in our two starts, so we'll bring it up there. I won't worry about it now, but yeah, there's nothing with the Cubs. It's a great week if you have lefty Cubs, but I'm not going Talkman. I'm not going PCA. And like you said, the other ones are all rostered, so is what it is. Chicago White Sox, they have six games this week, three at home versus the Yankees, three at the Houston Astros, three lefties, three righties, and they just brought Grady Sizemore out of nowhere to be their interim manager. So, like, seriously, folks, I say it every week, one of the worst franchises ever. Ryan has put pen to paper and proven the worst offense since 81. This team was a laughing stock. Like, I even think Pedro Grifol was not great by any means, but who's winning with this team? Like, I don't care what manager you are, who's winning with this? So they're already speculating on managers for next year. Why would you want to come here? Like, why would you want to risk that thing? But that's a whole other discussion, I guess. Anything you have here for the White Sox? Because I got nothing.
Yeah, you could say they made Pedro the Grifal guy, and I don't think it was really, you know, the problems run much deeper.
You've been hanging around with me too long.
The problems run much deeper than Pedro Grifal. I mean, Miguel Vargas is hitting every day, or they're playing every day, not he's hitting. He is leading off every day. Not doing much with it yet, but I still think this is someone worth, you know, I'm making no guarantees or anything here, but I think in a 15-teamer, Miguel Vargas is still, if you're playing every day leading off, no matter how bad of an offense this is, I think that's at least interesting. But no, there's really nothing else here. Brooks Baldwin is hitting second, not doing too much. A lot of Ks, one homer in 66 plate appearances, two steals, hitting 206. So I could go on and on, but yeah, we don't need to.
Yeah, and we talked about him on Tuesday's show because people are going to promote Jonathan Cannon. We talked about him in the live bloom boards. Yeah. He faces the Yankees this week, folks. Let someone else take that on. Don't just if you listen to anything we talk about, don't follow that because it will explode. Let's put it that way. Like, just don't do it. Stay far, far away.
One last thing. I actually put this in my notes and didn't read it, but Beanable in the chat says Garrett Crochet is starting on Friday. Pretty much no chance for a win. Just want those Ks and ratios. And yes, Garrett Crochet has not gone five innings since June.
Yep.
Has not gone five since June.
They are monitoring his innings. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
It's not good at all. All right. Let's talk about the Cleveland Guardians. They have six games coming up this week. It's three at home against the Cubs, three at the Milwaukee Brewers, one lefty, five righties. Most Guardians are already taken, but anything standing out to you here?
No. I'm actually wondering if, and maybe I'm late to the party, but is Angel Martinez a drop? Is someone I was pretty interested in. Lots of soft contact, hitting 236, three homers, two steals this season. So I don't think there's much here. We did skip over an all Great American Small Park week, Bubba, Cincinnati.
Oh, Reds. I'm sorry. I'll get back to you in a minute with that one. I did want to mention one more thing with Cleveland. I don't know why I skipped over that, but maybe because I was so excited. I did want to mention Lane Thomas. I'm much more aggressive at cutting guys these days, but Lane Thomas is ice cold, and his splits versus righties are horrific right now. I'm at least benching him. I benched him this week. He's getting close to being a cut in 12s for me. I'm just going to throw that out there right now. I love Lane Thomas. The skill set's very good. He cannot hit right-handed pitching at all these days, and he's still starting every day, so that's a plus, but just know the fact he starts every day actually hurts you more while he continues to slump. So just a heads up on Lane Thomas is my two cents on that one.
Good call. Did not realize that. 238 over the last month with no homers. Does have seven steals. I wonder how many of those were on his previous team, however, and not with Cleveland. And yeah, this week, a cool 2 for 28.
Yep.
With it's one bad. Run.
It's bad. So we always talk about outfielders, a position you can stream. Don't fall into the Gene Segura with Lane Thomas. It's a cut in. And 10s for sure. I wouldn't fault you in 12s. Let's put it that way. All right. You mentioned it. I forgot it. I feel so bad right now. Great American Small Park, the Cincinnati Reds. They have six games at home this week, three against the Cardinals, three against the Royals. They got the All-Missouri week ahead, six right-handed pitchers. I said on last week's show, you should have picked up Jake Fraley while he was cheap and no one wanted to pay attention to him. And he's actually got at least one home run this week too. It's been pretty good. But Fraley would be my main offensive target if you are going the Cincinnati route this week.
Yeah, this is a nice stretch of righties. I think Cincinnati was all seven righties this current week.
Yes, they were.
Getting six more next week. So, yes, if you picked up Jake Fraley last week, as per our recommendation, continue to roster Jake Fraley. The big thing I have with this group, Ty France is pretty much playing first base every day. I don't think there's anything special here, but in a six-game week all at home, Ty France, if you need some corner infield help, is playing more than I thought he would. Another guy playing more than I thought I think he should at this point is Noelvi Marte. Dude, he has been straight up awful. Bad.
Espinal's playing a lot.
He is. You do wonder, like, how long this leash is with Noelvi Marte right now. I know long-term prospect, whatever, but maybe with Cincinnati, they're just trying to get him reps at this point. But it's been very brutal for one of the top fab spend guys in Nuovi Marte this year.
Yeah, I think you just got to play him at this point. They're not going to be in the postseason most likely. So
yep.
I think you just got to get those reps in for next year, unfortunately. But it is bad for fantasy. Again, another guy you could probably cut really if you want to, or at least bench. Another guy I'll mention that's ice cold is Spencer Steer. That's a guy people like to just auto plug. And you might still auto plug him in Great American, but just be wary of what Spencer Steer has been up to because it's not been ideal as well. Colorado Rockies, they have 6 games this week. They have 3 at Arizona, 3 at home or San Diego, 2 lefties, 4 righties. The home series is apparently all right-handed pitchers for now if you're looking at the Colorado Rockies. What interests you in Colorado? Are we going back to Michael Toglia if people gave up on him, who had a stolen base, according to the chat on Thursday? You want some Jake Quick-Cave? Is that what you want? What interests you with the Colorado Rockies?
Nothing really interests me. I mean, honestly, like it's it's a really bad lineup. Even at home, it's just not worth messing with. I mean, the only fantasy relevant thing I think with this team at this point is how many saves can Victor Vodnik?
He's been doing it, man.
He's been doing it. I mean, the skills aren't great. The skills are actually not good. The skills are actually bad. But Victor Vodnik's getting it done and getting some saves. Did get a loss on Wednesday. Get kind of blown up, but he is the guy for better or worse. And every save, you know, depending on your league standings, that, you know, that stuff matters. Victor Vodnik is probably one of the few kind of for sure closers that is somewhat widely available. So, you know, there's risk, but he's going to get some saves.
Yep. Love me some Victor Vodnik. So I'm on that train as well. Detroit Tigers, they have 6 games coming up this week, all at home. Seattle, Yankees, all right-handed pitching for now. Not the easiest right-handed pitchers, to be fair. Let's put it that way. But you got all righties on deck for Detroit. Parker Meadows has hit safely in every game since getting recalled from activated from the IL. So he'd be a guy for sure. Other than that, there's not a lot of interest for me with Detroit.
Agreed. Parker Meadows and agreed on Parker Meadows, who is 65% rostered only in NFBC 12 teamers. So I like that. I wonder, dude, this rotation is like awful or like non-existent after Scooble. Like there's just roster resource. They list three guys here. There's only 3 dudes. RotoWire for Detroit has some dude I've never heard of, Brandt Herder, supposed to go on Thursday against Seattle. You've got Brian Sammons, who I hadn't heard of until this past week. Kader Montero, Kenta Maeda. Like it is, if you are, I mean, I think the fantasy takeaway here is any hitters going against Detroit. So on Seattle, on the Yankees this week, like after Scooble, this rotation is one of the worst in baseball.
Casey Mize is expected to start a rehab assignment this weekend, so that'll help hopefully clear things up, but he'll need a few starts, so it won't be next week, let's put it that way. But in the coming weeks he'll be back. I wasn't really interested in him anyways. He wasn't the best guy while he was healthy in the bigs. So it's brutal in Detroit. I honestly don't know why they don't put Fedo in the rotation, stretch him out. That's a guy that originally was a starter. What are we doing there, type thing? But it's a mess. And then they keep messing with the back end of the bullpen. Like Holton gets a save or two, then he was in the 6th, 7th inning tonight on Thursday. Yeah. Like it's all over the board with those guys. So good luck figuring that out. That's all I can say. But Kerry Carpenter starting a rehab assignment. He's a guy to keep an eye on. Riley Green is really close to starting to take batting practice, so he might go out on a rehab assignment soon. So they're getting hitters back, which also affects Parker Meadows potentially. But they're getting hitters back. Pitching still atrocious, as you mentioned. So keep your eyes out for all that. The Houston Astros, they have 6 games coming up this week, 3 at Tampa, 3 at home versus the White Sox, which is always great. 2 lefties, 4 righties for Houston, but just not a lot, at least in the offensive side of things, you can attack on the waiver wire with the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I mean, the only name I was going to bring up is a new call-up, Zach DiCenzo, who has played 1 game at DH and 1 at first base, but I think he's UT only in NFBC. So check your league format. And actually, he's listed as a shortstop, in on the NFBC with eligible position only as UT. So who knows? But this is someone who has gotten better at each level in the minors. Was reading his HQ scouting report earlier today. 11 games at AAA, slash 391, 472 with a 739 slug. For Zachary DiCenzo, and we comped him, Baseball HQ comped him to like a Eugenio Suarez type. So a lot of we like the power, the batting average not so much, but just a name to, I'm not really saying to go add him, especially because it's UT only, but maybe in like deeper keeper dynasty type leagues, this kind of seems like a pop-up prospect who, you know, given some playing time, given some run these last 2 months, could do something. But more of a monitor wait and see for Zachary DiCenzo.
Yep. Yeah, I think DiCenzo is a very good one to keep an eye on. Don't hate that at all. Real quick here, Steven in the chat says, any timeline on Job? Think we see him in 24. The team already said they don't want to see him in 24.
Yeah, so we'll see him next year.
I think it'll take a massive just desperation moment to have that happen. And I don't think, like, they're desperate now. If he's not doing it now, it ain't happening. That's the way I see it.
Keep throwing out Brant Herter. They will do that.
Brant Herter, and go fishing for some salmon and see how that goes for you. Yeah. All right. Let's go. And I will mention Justin Verlander starting a rehab assignment on Friday. Supposed to make 2 to 3 starts. He should be back by like the third week in August if all goes well. And that can mean Spencer Arrighetti might be the odd man out in Houston pretty soon. Something to keep in mind on that one. It's pretty much between Arrighetti or Hunter Brown. And so I'm pretty sure it'll be Arrighetti.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have, but just keep an eye. Or they go 6-man for September. That's an option as well. But something to keep in mind, folks. Kansas City Royals, they have 6 games coming up, all on the road. 3 at Minnesota, but they get to go to Great American for 3, which is pretty good. 2 lefties, 4 righties. They face 2 lefties in Great American as well, with Lodolo and Abbott on Saturday and Sunday. When you look at the Kansas City Royals, anybody of interest for you?
No, not really. I mean, I mentioned Michael Massey almost every week. Hasn't started against a couple of lefties lately, so starting to lose a little playing time, but leading off against righties, so I still like him. I mean, the main thing I was going to bring up with the Royals is the closer situation.
Yep.
So, like, since last week, Hunter Harvey has converted the only save op, I believe. I got a save on Sunday. And there have been no other save ops since then. So it you know, if that holds true, listener to the pod and Royals expert Anthony Gialdi's call on Hunter Harvey could be the right move over James MacArthur and Lucas Erceg. We just don't have that much data to kind of confirm that. But Harvey did get the team's lone save on Sunday, pitched well nine pitch inning on Sunday to get the save. So,
yep, I'm with you on that one. Michael C said, do we mention Reese Olson just started throwing on flat ground, so I'll wait a little bit longer before I get too invested in a Reese Olson return on that one. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, T's and P's.
That was a strategic moment of silence there. I like it.
Yeah, 6 games this week. They got Toronto for 3, Atlanta for 3, all at home. 2 lefties, 4 righties. You obviously have to find a replacement for the GOAT, but no one can really replace the GOAT, let's be honest. I'm not going up and picking up. I'm not going Brandon Drury. I'm not going and getting, Michael Stefanik. The only thing I can say is if you still haven't picked up Nolan Schenwell yet.
There it is.
Yeah, I had to throw my boy out there. Like, he hit a homer off a lefty today, folks. Off a lefty. So Schenwell is, I keep mentioning it, and I keep saying it's getting better and better, and it is. So stop sleeping. Like, I dropped Rowdy Tellez for Schenwell, people. That should tell you everything.
Whoa. That's big time.
Talked about that on Monday. Drop Rowdy, who's hitting for average. Power disappeared for Schenwell. So, tells you everything you need to know.
Hey, it was a Yankee Stadium home run. It was a Yankee Stadium.
You go hit one.
I know. I did bag you pretty hard last week for recommending Schenwell, who has – how many homers does he have this year? Like – I think he's still single digits, but more than 0 that he had last year.
Yeah, most of them have come here in the...
No, he's got 11. Right. 11 homers and that's 4 right. in the last month for Nolan Schenwell. Hey, but Nolan Schenwell, just to give myself a little bit before today's homer, 3 for 22 this week. 3 for 22 this week, Bubba.
Well, it's a good thing I don't play in a 3-day sample size.
Just trying to prop up my ego. No, that's a good call. It's a good call. Yeah,
we'll see. So we'll see. Like, I just like him long term, especially at corner infield. So with the pretty favorable schedule coming up here, I would be willing to keep playing him. He plays every day versus righties and lefties and leads off. So like me some Shen Will. I will say Joe Adell's hitting a little better against left-handed pitching. There's another guy to keep an eye on if the weeks dictate properly, but not going to get overly invested in that scenario at all. And Reed Detmers will be back around August 19th because that's when the team gets another year of eligibility out of him. So if you're looking on Reed Detmers for some reason, if you're invested in Reed Detmers, that's when you should expect to see Reed Detmers back with the Angels.
Had some skills. The results were not there, at least middle of the season. But Reed Detmers is interesting to me in 15s.
Yep. LA Dodgers, they have 7 games this week, all on the road. They have 4 at the Brew Crew, 3 at St. Louis, all right-handed pitching. Max Muncy is rehabbing. Tommy Edman is rehabbing. Or at least they're supposed to start this weekend if they haven't started yet. I still don't care personally, but they will play versus right-handed pitching if they come back. That's the only reason I wanted to mention them. Jason Hayward is the only other big benefactor, it feels like.
And Mookie's back soon, isn't he?
He's supposed to be back next week. He still hasn't started rehab, but he's taking BP and whatnot, and I feel like he's like a 2 or 3 rehab guy, and he'll be back.
Okay, yeah, because I was going to say Miguel Rojas is back from the IL, but I don't. Once Mookie's back, yeah, that dries up. I don't really have any ads here for the Dodgers, but we do like to sprinkle in some potential drops kind of in these episodes, which is just as valuable. I'd like to nominate Andy Pajes, who I still have on some 15 teamers, and Andy Pajes is 60% rostered in OCs. Last month, no homers, no steals, hitting .227, just doing nothing for you right now. Maybe that turns around, but this seems like the case of a rookie coming up, very strong start in the league, has adjusted to Andy Pajes, and I think you at least bench, if not drop, and look for better outfielders.
Yep, I dropped Pajes in the 12 last week or the week before, so I'm with you there. It's time for him to go, and I think when Edmund comes back, Pajes might be back to AAA. Would be on the potential.
Yeah,
if Edmund ever comes back, we've been saying that since.
Well, April. I still don't. You know, I'd like some visual confirmation that Tommy Edmund is actually alive.
That's fair. Weekend at Bernie's. It's a very possible situation. Miami Marlins. They have 5 games this week. Oh boy, they have 2 at the Phillies, 3 at the Mets, 2 lefties, 3 righties. I love Jake Berger. I love Jesus Sanchez, but the schedule is not ideal for maximizing potential this week.
Yeah, it's a rough one on 5. They have Ali Sanchez as a catcher. That's not sure who that is. For the Marlins, they actually have a decent 1-2-3. Xavier Edwards, Jake Berger, Jesus Sanchez. Outside of that, this falls apart very quickly. Mea culpa time. I have been recommending, or at least saying, Nick Gordon is playing every day, and that changed. I picked him up in a couple leagues, even in 15s, and dude's just gone. I guess Marlins, for good reason, want to see what they have in Kyle Stowers, and so Gordon was the odd man out there.
Yeah, no one picked him up, so he agreed to go to AAA on Thursday. So we still might see him again some point this year. Something to keep in mind. But yeah, he's back in the minors for the Miami Marlins. Milwaukee Brewers, they have 7 games this week, all at home. They have 4 against the Dodgers, 3 against the Cleveland Guardians, 1 lefty, 6 righties. I will say for now, I didn't mention it with the Dodgers. Walker Buehler threw well on Thursday in his rehab. He's expected back next week. Guessing that ends the time of River Ryan with the team, so keep an eye on that if they announce anything. But Ryan's probably a drop this weekend, unfortunately, because Buehler will be back, and that means that the Brewers might face Buehler, which is actually, I'd rather face him than River Ryan right now. So that's a good thing, yeah, if you're a Brewers guy.
Agreed. What are we doing with Christian Yelich? Speaking of the Brewers, he's still 82% rostered in 12 teamers, and the last blurb that I see on RotoWire is like him contemplating surgery to be ready for 2025.
Well, he already said he'll have it in the offseason. I don't think he's going to have it this season, but still maybe it's on the table. He's one of the guys that if I have other drops, I'm dropping. If I don't have other drops, he gets dropped right now, if that makes sense to people. Like, I'm not forcing a drop because he's there, but if I need to make a drop and I have no other options, he is the drop. Yeah. It's almost the Kyle Tucker tier. Tucker gets a little more leeway, but they're very close to each other.
That's where I was kind of going with it is, yeah, where is it comp to like a Kyle Tucker? I think that's right. I don't see any other Brewers. Like Garrett Mitchell is playing every day, but not particularly well.
Went deep on Thursday.
Oh, he did go deep today?
Okay. Yeah. Jackson Trudeau went deep twice, though.
We said at the top of the show, like, we're it's kind of lazy or whatever to say, I wonder what his ADP will be in this 2025 draft. I'm very curious where Jackson Chourio goes in our 2025 draft. Like, that's one of the ones where, like, I could see Jackson Chourio going third or fourth round, given the pedigree and the in-season turnaround that we've seen from Chourio. That's going to be a pretty fascinating spot to see where Jackson Chourio goes.
Yeah, Chourio, I saw a stat today. On June 1st, was hitting like 207. He's raised his average to 277 in basically a month, a little over a month. That's impressive.
Yeah, he's been
impressive.
He has been awesome. It's just super impressive for someone that young to be. I mean, he was bad. He was bad. Yeah. Jackson Chourio was bad in the middle of the season. He was platooning. To see him kind of adjust and come back to that, to what he is now and what he has been over the past month plus is super impressive given Churio's age. So.
Yeah, Bryce Terang's kind of platooning now, so he's not as much of a lock. I just want to bring that up. If you're setting lineups, keep an eye on that. And Colin Ray continues to just outperform the peripherals, dude. Just keeps doing it. I write about it. If you hear my voice on First Pitch Podcast, you can hear it in my voice, how it's just like the dude keeps getting it done, and it's just baffling to me, but the results are great. And more importantly, the strikeouts have been on. That has improved.
Was going to say, the skills have actually been pretty good over the last month.
Yeah, because early in the season, we clowned him because the K to walk sucked, the swing and strike sucked. So it's like, how does he have these ratios, even though the ERA indicators say he shouldn't? Well, the ERA indicators still aren't on level with him, but the strikeouts have definitely improved. Agreed. So that is interesting.
Real quick, Michael in the chat, Jackson Chourio or Jackson Merrill next year? Which Jackson?
That is a great question. I lean Chourio, but I really don't think you can go wrong there.
I do Chourio. I mean, I think Chourio has a top 10 overall player, fantasy player. I think that's type fair. Of ceiling that Merrill's very good. Don't get me wrong. I just think you can absolutely hit the nuts with Jackson Chourio next year.
I like that quite a bit. Minnesota Twins, the line changed. They're in effect this week. 7 games. They have 3 at home versus Kansas City, 4 at Texas, 2 lefties, 5 righties. You know, the problem we always say is most of the line changes pretty much already rostered these days, but Matt Wallner's still out there. Trevor Larnach's still out there. Wallner's my favorite one to pick up, but any thoughts on the line change in Minnesota?
No, not really. Austin Martin's getting everyday playing time against righties and lefties. It started the last 5 games, has done absolutely nothing with it. Brooks Lee, I know you've been on this train of Brooks Lee not really doing much lately. So I'm holding him in 15s, but it's been tough. But hold but bench Brooks Lee, yet another hitting prospect. somewhat not met expectations.
Just draft 80% of them in your DCs next year, and you'll probably be happy as hell. So
yeah,
it'll pan out nicely for you. New York Mets, they have 6 games this week, all at home, 3 versus Oakland, 3 versus Miami, all right-handed pitchers to face the New York Mets. And it's a Mets team that that means you get a lot of Jesse Winker, gets you a lot of Jeff McNeil, who I still think is worth some looks the way he's hitting. So those would be the 2 main ones I'd be looking at there in New York.
Yeah, even Winker, Winker didn't start against a righty on Monday, did on Wednesday, but that is it. That is a strict platoon, kind of as we called throughout draft season over the last month. And we also kind of called this with the trade deadline. Jesse Winker has stolen 2 bases.
Yep.
And I'm willing to bet that both of those were on the Nationals and not the Mets. No steals the past week for Jesse Winker. So as we kind of were talking about, the steals have dried up and the playing time is starting to as well. However, it is, like you said, a 6-game righty week for the Mets. So I think you can squeeze this one out for at least another week with Jesse Winker. My guy is playing every day again, Tyrone Taylor.
Yes, he is.
I mean, I probably talk about him too much. He's probably not that great, but just seems like elite glove and seems like a really good power speed guy if you're looking for a deep outfield pickup who will be basically free and fab, Tyrone Taylor.
Yep. I want to talk Paul Blackburn. When he got traded to the Mets, we've talked about him before. He's a really good floor pitcher. He's made two starts at the Mets now, at the Angels, at Coors Field. Six innings in both starts, one earned in both starts, two walks and six Ks in both starts, and has an amazing two-step next week, Oakland and Miami. So this is like the J.P. Sears conversation this week. Paul Blackburn's your dude next week. Make it happen is all I'm going to say. And he's just like Sears, a guy I'd have no problem keeping after that as well. Like, he's good enough to be a bench streamer the rest of the way. So yep. I wanted to bring him up on this one.
I like it.
New York Yankees, they have six games this week, all on the road, three at the White Sox, three at the Tigers. We talked about two horrific pitching staffs. three lefties and three righties, so it makes platooning difficult, and most Yankees will be rostered. But any thoughts on the Yankees?
Yeah, like, it's a good week to be a Yankee. That's all I'm saying. I got nothing. The only thing is just to vent. Why is Alex Verdugo the leadoff hitter on this team?
So bad.
Hitting in front of Soto and Judge. It's really bad. So bad. I guess they don't have that. I mean, Volpe was the leadoff guy, not the best on-base guy, but, like, God. Verdugo's been terrible, and he's leading off. So, yeah, I don't want to say you're wasting Soto and Judge, but you are probably giving up quite a few runs by having a sub-300 OBP you're guy.
The ceiling.
Exactly. But anyway, sure. That's all I got.
Yep, not much else there. The guys are just they're crushing everything. Austin Wells, get Austin Wells if you need a catcher. Oakland Athletics, they have five games this week. They have three at the Mets, two at home versus the Giants to wrap up their Bay Bridge series, because it will not be a Bay Bridge series after this year. So that'll actually be rowdy in the Bay. I was debating going next Sunday, so we'll see how that pans out. But five games, three lefties, two righties. It's, you know, Lawrence Butler still plays every day. Miguel Andujar has been awesome. Like, they're not platooning much, period. Honestly, there's not a lot of platooning going on. It's been all right-handed pitching lately, so it makes it tough. But anything on Oakland?
Now, I'll just say, if you've got any Oakland guys, it's an easy bench next weekend because, like you said, of the off day on Friday and then second half Snell next Sunday. Yeah. So, like, you're basically getting one game next weekend for Oakland. So you're fine to start for the first three against the Mets, but have other options next weekend for a two-game Oakland and basically a one-game, given how well Blake Snell has pitched lately.
For sure. Philadelphia Phillies, they have six games coming up next week, all at home, three against Miami, three against the Nationals. But it's three lefties, three righties.
Yeah, and another team where the good ones are rostered, the bad ones you kind of don't want. Actually, I mean, it's really not many bad ones now that Austin Hayes is good if he's healthy. So we talked about Hayes at the top. So outside of that, I don't have much.
Taiwan Walker should be back next week. So your boy Phillips might be gone.
My boy Phillips caused some pain on Friday night, man. Ending in a third, ending in two-thirds, eight earned against the Mariners. Was not expecting that, but he is, yeah, probably gone. Colby Allard's in the rotation, which is wild. Yes.
Yeah, he could be gone instead of Phillips. We'll see, I guess. They both don't deserve to be in the rotation right now, so we'll see. When Walker looked good in his last rehab start, again, it's rehab, but that'll get him at least back in the rotation. Yeah.
The takeaway is Taiwan Walker has a spot, which we kind of thought the whole time. So, I mean, Taiwan Walker's not that good, but he does have a spot when he comes back.
Yep, he will get his spot. That is for sure. Pittsburgh Pirates, six games coming up this week, three at the Padres, three at home versus Seattle, all right-handed pitching. Again, they've had a lot of that lately. So you can go back to Rowdy Tellez if you need to. Other than that, like, Joey Bart's a good catcher too, if you want one. Not a whole lot else for me with them.
Agreed. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is back and playing every day at second or shortstop. Probably shortstop because shortstop while O'Neill Cruz was out. So probably just this everyday second baseman. Jack of few trades, master of none. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. So I don't really know why I even brought him up.
Because you made fun of me earlier this year when I mentioned him, but he hits for average, but that Concase has a question. I was started to save it for the end of the show, but he has asked it again. So yeah, we'll Joey ahead. Bart or Kyber Ruiz? I would go Joey Bart personally.
I'd go Ruiz personally.
Yeah,
but it's close. I mean, I don't know.
They both aren't like
no firm off stance. The page. Yeah,
stream them while they're hot, drop them and replace them while you can't. That's where I'd go on those ones when it comes to Bart and company. And one other thing, let me see what I was looking at with Pittsburgh. Nah, you don't want the pitching staff. Never mind. Just wanted to make sure I didn't miss something. Because with Martin Perez left, I wanted to see who took his spot. But not
sure we're going to bring up old G1 Bay or something.
Nope, we're
really stretching here.
Nope, San Diego Padres, they have 6 games next week, 3 at home versus Pittsburgh, 3 in Coors Field, 2 lefties, 4 righties for the San Diego Padres. Should be a fun week for them. Just great matchups between Pittsburgh and Colorado. So any thoughts on San Diego?
Nope. I continue to say this is kind of the most boring team to write about from a playing time standpoint, yep, because it is set in stone. Robert Suarez does seem to be gone, the guy, as we kind of thought, and not Tanner Scott. So I think Tanner Scott is probably droppable in most leagues at this point.
He did pick up his 7th win of the year on Wednesday. So if you want to cross your fingers and pray, you got that going for you. And Joe Musgrove should be back this weekend. Someone else to keep in mind. San Francisco Giants, they have 6 games coming up this week, 3 at home versus Atlanta, or 4 at home versus Atlanta, 2 at the Oakland Athletics, 2 lefties, 4 righties. Get in where you fit in, I guess, but I'm not rushing to get the guys that you want are already taken, is what I'm trying to say.
Right. I agree. Actually, I mean, the Giants lately, Conforto, Chapman, Ramos, Fitzgerald, like they've been quite helpful in fantasy circles lately.
Yep. They do give people optimism once in a while, and then it's proven to be false. So enjoy it while you can.
We do need at least I think we should admit to the Hayden Bird song disaster that was.
I'm not worried about that last week,
but did burn us last week. I think he's going to be fine going forward too, but
yeah, we talked about it on Tuesday. People are messaging us like, who do we drop for a Hayden Bird song? And I'm like, nobody. It's first time he's pitched in 15 days. Like, that's a Giants problem, not a Bird song problem. He'll be fine. He was amazing up till that start, so we don't need to be jumping ship just yet. I wouldn't, especially if he's got Oakland coming up next week. Like, yeah, you stick with Bird. I know Oakland's a good offense, but you stick with Bird song for now. And then the following week, he's got at Seattle, which is a strikeout machine. Like, yeah, just hold on to this one while you can. Speaking of Seattle, they have 6 games next week, all on the road, 3 at Detroit, 3 at Pittsburgh, 4 lefties and 2 righties, which makes things fun for Seattle because it's kind of the flip of what we usually see in baseball. The only thing I think of is, do you want to go Mitch Haniger? I don't, but that's about the only thing that stands out to me.
Yeah, Haniger, useful against lefties. It's a great schedule. I mean, at Detroit, at Pittsburgh, outside of Paul Skeens, it's a really good schedule. So, I'm always a Dylan Moore guy, really good against lefties, playing against both right now because of the J.P. Crawford injury, but I think it could be a good week for Dylan Moore, who qualifies basically everywhere and could patch some holes for you in deeper leagues.
Great question here from Michael C. Do you just bench Rayleigh this week then? I think you do because he went deep again on Thursday. He's swinging it really well, but he's going to sit versus most lefties.
Yes, agreed. He is not going to play much this week.
And Dominic Canzone got activated on Thursday. He'll probably platoon with Haniger, but again, 4 lefties. So Haniger should play most of the week. Just keep that in mind going forward. And if they do bring J-Rod back early, they said he would DH, which really puts a hamper on any Mitch Garver happiness out there for anybody. Just throw that out there. Because some people are still in 15s. He's still a catcher too, as weirdly as it sounds. But his playing time is quickly disappearing. So keep that on the radar as well. And let me check one more name. It should be widely rostered. Yeah, 100%. No, he's not. Wait a minute. Wrong guy. Justin Turner's only 67% rostered in OCs. Dude's hitting like 4th or 5th for the Mariners, and he's hitting very well. So that's another guy. Don't sleep on Justin Turner. Very, very much in play these days. All right. St. Louis Cardinals, they have 6 games coming up this week. 3 in Great American Small Park, 3 versus the Los Angeles Dodgers. 2 lefties and 4 righties. What are you liking in St. Louis?
I mean, not liking too much in terms of who's available on Fab, but Victor Scott is back. If you believe in Victor Scott Part 2, I think the sequel might be just as bad as the original movie. But hitting 9th, if you're desperate for steals, maybe that's a dart throw. But outside of that, I don't see much here.
Nope, not much to see here. So if I missed it, I apologize, but I'm moving on to Tampa Bay. 6 games this week. They get three at home versus Houston, three at home versus Arizona. Looks like we're going to get five righties. Four righties. You have Valdez and Kikuchi to start the week. So four righties, two lefties as of now, subject to change with Merrill Kelly and other situations in the Arizona rotation. But pretty interesting schedule for Tampa Bay. Josh Lowe left the game on Thursday after fouling a ball off his knee. X-rays negative. He's day-to-day, so keep an eye on that. Brandon Lau has been swinging great. So what's your thoughts on the situation with Tampa Bay?
I don't have much. I mean, this is one of my hardest teams to peg in terms of playing time, and a somewhat even split lefty-righty week. Again, we don't know for sure who these probables are next week against the Rays. I don't really see anyone need pick up, to be honest.
Texas Rangers, they have seven games this week. They go to Boston for three, and then they're home for four against the Minnesota Twins. All right-handed pitchers. You can sit Adelis Garcia if you feel like it, because he has been atrocious. He's been Will Smith bad.
Whoa.
You can woe me all you want. Go look at it. It has been horrible for Adelis Garcia. I'm not cutting him just yet, but you can sit his butt
real quickly
on the bench. Yep. Anything Bubba. Else you have for Texas?
Easy.
What?
Easy.
Family show? Sorry.
Oh, that's some hatred on Adelis. But
do you want me to bring the stats up, or do you want to look at it?
I can see the stats. I can see the stats.
And he got dropped to seventh in the order now, by the way.
You can see a 186 batting average, two homers, two steals. I think you still start him in 15s. But yeah, no, it has been it's been quietly a pretty brutal season for a few of the Rangers. Like yes. Mark, we talked about Marcus Semien. Adelis, you've had the failures of Wyatt Langford and Evan Carter. Just not the same lineup that we saw from the World Champs last year. But anyway, Josh Young has been back, but Josh Smith has maintained the leadoff gig. And with seven righties, I think that's super usable, but probably already widely rostered. You've got what looks like a platoon between Leody Taveras and Robbie Grossman. Well, Grossman's DHing against lefty, so he won't play, but Leody Taveras, you'll get seven games out of that, which do you really want seven games out of Leody Taveras?
This Rangers team's been a massive disappointment. That's all I can say.
It's been bad. It's been real bad.
So don't just think, like, it's a phenomenal looking schedule too. It's like, well, it's a tough matchup, like tough pitchers, but seven righties, like you feast for these kind of weeks, and not what you drew up. Toronto Blue Jays, though, six games coming up this week, all on the road. Three at the Angels, three at the Cubs, two lefties, four righties to face off with Toronto. This is an interesting team if you're looking for like some deep plays, because I will say, can you make fun of me? Ernie Clement's hitting pretty well if you're in deep leagues, is all I'm going to speculate there, but playing every day in the middle infield. So that's a guy to look at. It's not a lot for me I'm in love with when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays.
I mean, yeah, Ernie Clement is hitting .270. Six homers, eight steals. Like that is pretty good stuff for Ernie Clement, but still not totally sold. Outside of that, like partial playing time from Davis Schneider, from Madison Bargar. Actually, the most playing time in the outfield in terms of like some of these new guys is Joey Loperfido, yep. But just so many strikeouts. I don't think you can really go with him. So when's your boy coming back? Bichette. When's he coming back?
Hopefully never. So I don't get a message. Hey, look, he went 0-for-5 again tonight. He's better off just sitting at home, you know, massaging his calf than coming back and letting me see that.
I really think we should rename this team to the Toronto Vladimir Guerrero Juniors.
He's been amazing.
It's been what a hell of a run he's been.
Another home run on Thursday. I do want to mention with Clement.
And a triple.
I do want to mention with Clement the last 12 games entering Thursday. Dude's hitting .340. Eight RBIs and four stolen bases over that stretch, striking out 1.9% of the time.
Who is this? Clement?
Ernie Clement. So I just wanted to bring that up. Like he's legit been really good.
Beanable in the chat. The artist formerly known as Stephen Crawford. Alejandro Kirk has been really good since the trade deadline, picking up some playing time with Jansen gone. So I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe. I think there's Joey Bart, Austin Wells. Some other guys would probably take a chance on ahead of Kirk, but
Will Smith.
No, I might take Kirk over that. I'm not willing to probably bet on that, but I might take Kirk. Will Smith's dead to me.
I know he is.
I'm gonna fight that one till the bitter end. I'll say that much. But even Michael C. See, he's on this. He says, "I have Clement in the B&B league. Drafted Cabrian, literally the worst qualified hitter. Spent on Noelvi." Yeah, there was a tweet today about showing Cabrian Hayes as like the worst qualified hitter.
Really, I didn't realize it had been that bad.
I forgot it was. It's so bad. I've benched him in a few. I think I dropped him in 112, but he's pretty much locked out of my lineup right now. So he's been brutal. Brutal stuff. All right, last team we have here, the Washington Nationals. They're on the road next week for 6 games, 3 at Baltimore, 3 at Philadelphia, 2 lefties, 4 righties for the Nats. I'm going to keep saying Wanya Pez if he's alive out there on your waiver wire, because that dude, power, speed, average, it's been amazing since he's been recalled. But that's about all on Luis Garcia should be rostered because he's been amazing as well. But that's about all I can think of, because most of the guys that are probably available on your waiver wires, I am not interested in.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not an endorsement, but just recognition that Alex Call has hit pretty well since he's been up, hitting almost 400 through his first 54 plate appearances with 3 steals. So maybe some stolen base contributions from Alex Call while that hot streak lasts. But yeah, outside of that, don't see much here.
Yeah, there's not much to go with for sure. So it'll be an interesting week. If it doesn't feel as loaded as last week, but
no,
I
have a feeling
I have a feeling once we get going, it'll be better than we thought. Because every time we think it's not that great, it still turns out to be pretty good. But last week, between the trade deadline and a few other things, we had a lot of options last week. So that also goes back to saying potentially, if you liked some guys last week, they probably didn't get picked up because they were farther down waterfalls. Maybe go speculate on them for future weeks if you don't if you don't need to force something this week. So go check your, I know it's like a run in the dirt like statement, but go check your leagues. Like every league is so different with what's going on.
I accept your thinly veiled recommendation for Miguel Vargas. We'll take that.
At this time,
because honestly, that is someone who like waterfall wise wouldn't have been picked up last week and still is 100%. Playing. And I don't know.
But like if you have a bench spot, I'd rather speculate on a Miguel Vargas than some other guys that are probably on. I'd rather speculate on Miguel Vargas than Cabrian Hayes right now, if that's a question for people. We know who Cabrian Hayes is. We don't know who Miguel Vargas is. I'd rather take that chance for a guy that's leading off, for at least hitting in front of Lubob. Like maybe you'll get something going. There's nothing with Cabrian Hayes at all. So that's where I'm at this time of year. If it's going to be a strictly bench for bench move, I'd speculate quickly. Because if they break out at all, everyone's going to pick him up, and that's obvious. But
Brian Hayes still 63% owned in 12 teamers. But
I forgot what the exact tweet was, but Michael C. mentioned it in the chat here also, that I remember seeing it. Worst hitter, qualified hitter in baseball this year. It's pretty bad stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk CBS most added and dropped this past week. I'll let you take the reins here, but look who the second man is on the hitter list. So I'm going to throw out there to you, Mr. Bloomfield.
It's Ernie Clement.
Yeah.
He of a 3% barrel rate. We did not bring up Tommy Pham, who is the top riser in CBS from 23 to 36%, but I can't really get behind that. He's not playing against right-handed pitching, so I don't think Tommy Pham is really rosterable in most formats. The playing time's not there. Victor Robles is still rising, as he should, despite playing with a bad hip. Really good skills all around, 17% K, double-digit barrel rate, and he's running like crazy, again, even with the bad hip. Here's your boy.
Yep, Austin Wells.
Austin Wells. Gavin Lux is also a riser. I think that's more of a reactive move from like one good week. Skills still look really bad.
Yeah, he's kind of slowed down a little this week. I know I got a lot of shares of him because I've been desperate for middle infield. It's like a broken record on this show. Like, I've been desperate for middle infield. So I'm riding it. He's still playing every day, so I'll take my chances there. But he has taken a step back to normalcy. That's what I'll say. Regression, some may say.
We glossed over, or not even glossed over. We didn't mention Hunter Renfro, but
Michael C. mentioned him in the chat.
Yeah, sure. The chat mentioned. Yeah. I think a few folks in the chat mentioned Hunter Renfro. Weird to see just a 6% barrel rate for Hunter Renfro. Like the raw power hasn't been there, but like he's like a contact hitter now. Like who is this guy? But it's working, and Hunter Renfro is playing every day, middle of the KC order. So probably someone we should have mentioned in our Royals rundown. So,
yep, yeah, he's playing better. I just I always have trouble buying in on him. Even in my DCs where I have shares of Renfro, I don't know if I should start him or not every week. He's a tough one for me.
We've got Jake McCarthy up from 16% to 21%, and CBS starting to play every day. Were you going to say something, Bubba?
Yeah, right above him. We should have mentioned Orlando Arcia of Atlanta. Power has shown up over the last few weeks. He's hitting for average. He's been very, very good. I got lucky and got him in tout because, again, need a million middle infielders there. Ryan's in the league. I lose guys every week at middle infield. It's bad. So I put bids in on Arcia a few weeks ago and got him. He's been very, very good for the Braves right now. And that's a guy that should not be slept on at the moment.
Agreed. That's a good call. I'll just reiterate my Dylan Moore heavy lefty week for the Mariners. Dylan Moore is up from 24 to 28% rostered in CBS. Here's my guy, Geraldo Perdomo, who homered
out too, man.
Homered the day after I bagged him on our Tuesday episode. Went deep. But still don't think there's much there. 4% barrel rate for Perdomo. But he's making a ton of contact, playing every day if you need some middle infield. Parker Meadows is down here, and I think he should be higher.
He should be one of the top priorities this week.
Agreed. 14 to 17%. So
I'll say my only concern, let's have this open discussion before people blow whatever fab they have left. So right now it's Winsfield Perez, it's Matt Verlin, and it's Parker Meadows in the outfield. That's a lefty and two righties right now. You got Kerry Carpenter rehabbing. That's a lefty. And you have Riley Green coming back soon. Like, in a perfect world, it should be Meadows, Green, and Carpenter in the outfield. That's to me their best three. That's not a diss on Winsfield Perez, but that's their best three. Their DH right now is Malloy. So what it comes down to between, I guess, Verlin can go back to the bench and be a util. Malloy maybe doesn't DH, or he platoons a DH with like a Carpenter. My point is, do you break the bank for Meadows with these other lefty bats coming back?
That's a good point. I don't know if you break the bank, because we still don't know if Meadows will play against lefties.
That's my point. He's playing every day right now, and he's, like I said, he's hitting every game since he came back from the IL. So that's obviously a plus. He actually sat against a righty. He played on Saturday, sat on Sunday. He's played every game this week.
He's played 4 out of 5 since coming from the IL. Like, I'm not too worried about that.
He seems locked in for now.
I'd go pretty strong for Meadows. Wouldn't break the bank, dude. One other thing. I know we're all over the board and we're running a little long, but like, what the hell happened to Spencer Torkelson? Since we're talking the Detroit Tigers, like, the dude has just been wiped from the map.
It takes every ounce of my being when I see someone say, oh, look, he hit 2 home runs in the last 3 games at AAA. And I'm like, stop. Just like, look at the whole profile. It's been atrocious.
Yeah.
If they bring him back, it's legit saying, we just want to see what he can do the last month, like, to get at bats for next year. It's the only way he physically comes back. And they're still kind of contending right now in Detroit, weirdly enough. So I don't think they're going that route. Back to the original part. Parker Meadows is one of my top options.
We went way off there, but yes. We have Nick Pollock in the chat saying he doesn't condone taking Charlie Condone.
Talking about hitters.
About hitters. But this is a riser because CBS has keeper leagues. That's why. So outside of that, I don't know, man. We covered the good ones. No other hitters I think that we missed.
And there's Jorge Polanco there. We talked about him last week. He's going to be battling his knee injury. He'll miss a game here and there, but the bat has come back, because that whole Seattle team is hitting better than they were most of the season. So if you're in need of middle infield, I don't hate it. I prefer Perdomo, Arcia, some of these other guys, but I wouldn't just write off Polanco because of the horrific start to the season that he had. Pitching side of it, there's Blackburn leading the way, and that should be the case. That should be the dude. I'm fully on board there. When I saw his second start with the Mets, I was pumped. And then when we started the show and I saw the two-step, Yahtzee.
I think David Festa is the dude. And actually, it's surprising to me to see Paul Blackburn at 40% CBS, David Festa at just 26%. Well,
Festa should have been added last week. If people didn't add Matt Festa, he still wouldn't be available.
All right. Yeah, that was good. That was good.
David Festa is 57% in OCs, where Blackburn's 17%.
Okay.
So I'm with you. Festa's awesome, but in my mind, he should be gone, but I guess he isn't. So you're right.
But he should be gone. This is a different, I think a lot of things too. You, if folks look at, and Joe Rico also made this point on his podcast, you look at the year-to-date line for David Festa.
Yeah,
never, it's ugly. That. But yeah, never do that, especially when you look at like the post call-up version of David Festa. It's been good. So he's
look what he's done since he came back. Way different dude.
Yep. And he is all green in our pickup sheet here with a over 20% K to walk, ton of whiffs, throwing strikes. It all looks pretty good for Mr. Festa. Who else? We hit on Victor Vodnik.
Line is horrible. Holy crap.
Victor Vodnik's like terrible, man.
It's horrible.
But he gets ground balls and he's the closer. So like whatever. Whatever, man.
I'll take it.
So they're right next to each other, Justin Martinez. And well, yeah, Justin Martinez or Victor Vodnik rest of the season.
I go Vodnik because he has the role for sure. I think Martinez is the better guy. If I knew Martinez,
but that's not the closer. I mean, but that's not the, if you're in a saves league and you need saves, like
it's Vodnik.
I feel more comfortable that Vodnik is. I don't know how many more wins Colorado's going to get. Maybe that plays into the consideration, but anyway,
it's Vodnik for sure. But yeah, that's an interesting one. There's Eric Geddy, who I'm worried about. River Ryan, like I said, I know Nick's pumping River Ryan up in the chat. I think he goes when Bueller comes back next week. That's my only concern there.
I do too. I don't think he should, but I think if Walker Bueller, if they think Walker Bueller is ready, Walker Bueller's going to pitch.
And he looks good. It's minor league rehab, but he looked much better this time around. But I still think Bueller's broken, but I could be wrong.
TJ Herz for Washington, we did not bring up when we covered the Nats. He's frustrating to me, man, because the ceiling is there. Like the strikeouts, got a couple double digit strikeout games already, but like went, I think, 2 2/3 today with four walks and four Ks
out of his like 10 outs.
So it's just like a frustrating, it's a frustrating watch because it's like a three true outcome pitcher, but he's just gonna have these spells that can kind of destroy your whip. I still like DJ Hurst. Like when things are on, he's awesome, but they're very erratic.
Yeah. And the weather was horrible. So I kind of want to give him a grain of salt.
That's a good point.
Like it was raining and misting all day. So kind of want to give him a little leeway, but it still hasn't been great the last few starts. Not the guy we were hoping for and saw it before. So yeah.
What about your guy Cabo? Alex Cobb.
Get back up. And the good thing is you'll get to see him pitch on Sunday. So you'll have an idea of who he is. I liked him beforehand. I've been saying pick him up anyways. I'm a fan. So as long as he doesn't, you know, go back to the IL, I think he's a great pickup for the coming weeks.
Blessing and a curse to see him come up, honestly. I'm actually kind of rooting for like a rusty return. So the fab prices are pretty cheap Sunday night because I agree. I'm with you on Alex Cobb, I think. Like I prioritize Cobb over, not Festa, but Blackburn. I'd take Cobb over Blackburn.
That's a close. It's close. It's very close. I think Blackburn I like a little more just because he's proven he's healthy. But I get where you're at on that one.
All right. Who else? Who else on the riser list? Tickles your fancy.
We talked Harvey. Nick Martinez has been okay in deep leagues. The good doctor, Calvin Fauché.
Dr. Foucher.
He picked up his second save on Wednesday. So he is the dude. He is the dude. He's got a Vodnik-esque line going on there. But Trevor Rogers getting some love.
Do you know the latest on Brandon Sproat for the Mets? He's a riser who is up from 8% to 12%. Really good numbers in the minors.
I haven't heard anything on him, and I do news 5 to 6 days a week. I have not.
I saw like I think heard I anything. Saw, on well, Brandon I guess Sproat. I won't say anything definitive. It sounds like he's close.
Yeah, he pitched a Triple A tonight.
Yeah, it was promoted to Triple A, so maybe he's not. But
yeah.
All right. Never mind. Brandon Sproat, someone who you should not worry about.
Yeah, his Triple A debut, 4 2/3, 7 hits, 6 runs, 3 walks, 4 Ks in his Triple A debut. If he gets called up, it'll be a late September thing, I'd imagine.
Hey, here's another riser, another good one. Trevor Rogers is still rising.
I'm telling you, if he continues to improve like he did from the first start to the second, Ryan, you might have to buy a jersey, but I wouldn't worry too much about that. You're better off buying one of Alex Fast's cool little gloves than buying a jersey of Trevor Rogers.
Man, that was a sight to behold. That was beautiful.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. That's just about it for me. Like Drew Rasmussen's going to be working out of the bullpen, which might have leverage in deeper formats compared to some streaming pitchers, but it's tough.
I've got one more, but we'll talk about him at the two step. So let's transition, as they say.
All right, two step pitchers this week. Yay, nay, or just Arizona doesn't have anybody. potentially schedule that. I think that will move around some more because that would mean they'd have a 6-man rotation, which maybe they do go with that with Kelly and Erod coming off the IL. So keep an eye on that one. If they don't go 2-step, Brandon Faulk gets Colorado at home and at Tampa Bay, which would be great.
Agreed.
Atlanta, you got Chris Sale at Giants, at Angels, you do. But Charlie Morton at the Giants, at the Angels. Morton got absolutely hammered on Wednesday.
Yeah. Like Tyler Phillips style.
Yeah. That was a beatdown.
I still think you roll with them.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You still roll with them, especially in 15s. 12s, if you have other options, I understand. But 15s, you're still rolling.
Skills are still good recently, and it's at San Francisco, at the Angels, and I now see why you are chomping.
Trevor Rogers versus the Nationals and versus the Boston Red Sox, the best offense in baseball since July 1st.
Yeah. No.
No. Brian Baio versus Texas at Baltimore. I would say yes.
That's tough. That is,
Texas starts good, but Baltimore is not the dominant.
I know Baltimore is not what they were in the first half of the season. I think I'd roll. I have Baio in some 15s.
I would pitch Baio.
I think I'm going to roll with them. I think I'm going to roll with them. And yeah, Cutter Crawford.
Cutter Crawford's the other one. I sit Crawford.
Whoa.
Have you seen how he's been pitching lately? Let's have a Cutter Crawford conversation here, Mr. Bloomfield. Got shelled on, I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, but he's allowed 6 runs, 5 runs, 5 runs, 6 runs. His last 3-4 starts.
Jesus.
Yeah. At the Dodgers, the Yankees, at Texas, at Kansas City. At least 5 runs in each of his 4 starts.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I'm going to be sitting him. I'm thinking he's hitting a wall is what it feels like.
That's a good call. This is why I keep you around. Mm-hmm. Might be hitting a wall. He has already surpassed his most major league innings in a season. So
it's not an automatic start, so I wanted to bring that up. So I would personally be sitting Cutter Crawford right now.
That's a tough one.
I'm not dropping him yet because I want to see if maybe they skip a start or do something with him like they did with Baio earlier this year to kind of let him figure things out or rest. Because he is talented, but I think we might have seen the we mentioned earlier this year there's a lot of pitchers this is going to happen to, and we're going to start seeing more of this. I think Crawford's starting to find his rough spot. Kyle Hendricks at Cleveland versus Toronto. That's actually interesting.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's a no.
No, it's a no. Andrew Abbott versus St. Louis versus Kansas City. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. I'd roll with it, but Abbott's like pretty shaky, man. Pretty shaky dude. But I'd go with it in 15s and 12s. You may have better options.
I agree. 12s, it's probably a no bar unless your team is just like stricken with problems. 15s, yeah, you could roll it. Cleveland, Ben Lively versus the Cubs at Milwaukee.
I watched Lively start against the Diamondbacks this week. The stuff looks quite honestly terrible. I don't know how he has a 3.42 ERA. The skills aren't that great either. He's very fringe in 15 teamers, Ben Lively.
Yeah, so you're saying his stuff isn't very lively, huh?
It is not very lively at all. 90 mile an hour fastball. A curveball that everyone just kind of spits on. Corbin Carroll hit a home run off him.
Like I keep wanting to drop him. Then I look at his stat lines and he just keeps putting quality starts out there, and it's just frustrating.
And in a 2-step like this against the Cubs at Milwaukee,
I think you'd do
probably it. Do it. And I have Lively in 15, so I probably will.
And Milwaukee's heating up, folks. Just beware. But I think I would roll Lively in this one. We can skip Colorado. You're not facing pitching Davis. Kai Bush versus the Yankees at Houston. I think that's a no. Tariq Skubal is a yes. Framber Valdez is a yes. Brady Singer at Minnesota at Cincinnati.
Sorry, I was looking up who Kai Bush actually is.
He got promoted and made his debut against the A's this past week.
How do you know all this stuff?
Because I do this basically, like I said, 6+ days a week. So, yes.
All right. Who are you Brady Singer?
Brady Singer, yes. We
That's
have
your boy.
At Minnesota at Cincinnati. I'm starting him. I just want to get your thoughts.
Yeah,
at Minnesota
I'd roll with him. I'd roll with him.
Davis Daniel versus Toronto versus Atlanta.
No. Not a chance. And not just of the name situation, but no, not Davis Daniel. So never bad. Davis Daniel.
Clayton Kershaw at Milwaukee at St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah. You just hope he can go 5, but yeah.
Cross your fingers, folks. He hasn't gone 5 yet.
I know. And the fastball is
not great. Like, it's cool to see him still pitching, but I'm just like, man, stay away. Stay far away. Milwaukee, Colin Ray versus the Dodgers versus Cleveland.
That's a brutal freaking two-step.
He was supposed to have a two-step this last week, and they mixed up the rotation. That's like, he was supposed to pitch Sunday, and they pushed him to Monday.
I guess LA isn't that bad, but yeah, I'd do it. I mean, we talked about how good Colin Ray has been, both above and below the surface over the last month, so I think we back that up and roll with him here. And Freddie Peralta, for sure.
Pablo Lopez versus KC at Texas. Joe Ryan will not be there, so you might have a Louis Varland versus KC at Texas as well.
Yeah, I don't know what they'll do. I mean, Varland's pitching Friday, so I don't think he'll be a two-stepper next week. So maybe they move
Bailey Ober up.
Yeah, I don't know. Whoever that is, it's an attractive two-step against the Royals and at Texas.
Yep. Paul Blackburn, I love Oakland, Miami. That's one of the best streaming ones you're going to find, I feel like. Luis Eel at the White Sox at Detroit. That's a pretty good one.
That's beautiful.
That's a pretty good one. Taiwan Walker, if he does return as planned, it gets versus Miami versus Washington. That's not a bad way to come back to the bigs.
Yeah, nice way to ease back in, but I don't like throwing that, even your first start. I mean, start off the IL, and Taiwan Walker's not that good to begin with. So,
yeah, Taiwan Walker is not rostered in 12s right now. 0% rostered. Whew. That's going to be a fun one to see how many pick him up and then get the good or bad start report. That'll be interesting. I think I'd give it a whirl just because I've seen his rehab outings, but I get it. Like the E-Rod or no rehab, I'm like, not a chance I'm starting him. Taiwan, I've seen him at least get his pitches up there, so we'll see. Marco Gonzalez at San Diego versus Seattle.
Unless you're real desperate, but I lean no.
Joe Musgrove versus Pittsburgh at Colorado. See, I'm out there because I have not seen him do much.
Yeah, I just haven't seen him do much, but it is an attractive two-step. If you need innings, Ks, whatever, I think I'd roll with it.
George Kirby, you're two-stepping. Blake Snell, you're two-stepping, especially versus Atlanta at Oakland. That's awesome. Sonny Gray at Cincinnati versus the Dodgers. Yeah.
Yep.
Taj Bradley, who's struggled his last two, but I think you're still taking that two-step. Tyler Molle at Boston versus Minnesota, making his second and third starts off the IL.
That's who the riser was that I didn't. I kind of punted for this two-step. I lean no, just because Molle did not look good in his first start, and then it's at Boston. I mean, that's tough. So I'd lean no for Tyler Molle.
I'll pass as well. Bowden Francis, if he sticks around here, it's at the Angels, at the Cubs.
I'm bowing out of that one.
Well done. And then Jake Irvin at Baltimore at Philadelphia.
Ooh, kind of tough, but yeah, Jake Irvin's like, he's good. So
I do it. Kevin Hastings in the chat says, we're at a time of the year where it's all about what your ratios look like. I'd roll with any of these guys in some leagues and none in others. 100%. I think we said that earlier about what pitcher we were talking about. Like, if you need wins and Ks, yes. If you need ratios, don't do it, because one bad start can blow everything up type scenario. Mm-hmm. So 100% is the case. I think it was Albert Suarez, but I think it's who we were talking about. Like, he can blow up so badly. That's risky. All right. I think we have one listener question before we head out. You're a little longer tonight, but rabbit holes. We went down rabbit holes. It's the best way. We actually don't have listener questions, so that's good. We passed them there. They're all in the chat tonight, which is good. We love it when they're hanging out in the chat with us as well. So final thoughts, Mr. Bloomfield, as we wrap up week 21 Fab preview. Not as exciting, like we said, as before, but still some fun moves you can make and improve some stats on some teams.
Yeah, I agree. Well put. Compared to the last 2 weeks, this one's pretty tame. We'll see what happens over the weekend, especially with some of these closure situations. And yeah, I'll just echo what Kevin posted in the chat. Is so much of our advice is we're just kind of assuming all is equal in the standings. We know that's kind of not the case. And so your league standings are absolutely everything at this point. Not where you're at in the standings, so to speak, but where they're bunched, where the bunches are, is just everything right now. So you're just trying to squeeze every single point you can. So anyway, that's all I got.
The other thing I'll mention is depending on your leagues, a lot of guys are starting to head towards football. I know he said it, but it's hardcore heading towards football. When I do my Monday recap show with Ben, there's certain leagues where it's like six moves. Compared to like 15 and others, there's no backup bids. Like, you're starting to see a lot of these things. So I've been looking more at stats in those leagues starting this like last couple of weeks, and strictly going at like positions I know I can take advantage of, if that makes sense. So keep an eye on that as well. Like, maybe you want to go pick up three of these spec closers because four saves gets you 4 points or something, compared to, you know, going for two-step guys where you need 10 wins to get 3 points or something. Like, there's certain things that are feasible and some that aren't. So I know it takes more time, stuff along those lines, but we're at that point of the year where if half your league or a quarter of your league starting to sleep, you can start making some big headways if you start paying attention a little more. So
for cheap too, won't cost you much.
So I want to mention that part as well, because I know I'm going to be doing that this week in one league. I use the saves example because that works for me in one league in a big way. So I'll be approaching that philosophy as well. All right, that'll do it, folks. We'll be back to you guys on Tuesday with more Bloom Board news. We'll see action. We're getting to that point of the year where we'll start kind of just having some fun with stuff, and then we'll get to our early draft or early meatball draft coming up. We'll start to get that previewed for you and much, much more. But until next time, make sure you check out Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod. I'm at BD Intrick, and this is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 159. Catch you all next time.